And again, I encourage you to memorize these verses, to work on these verses, and let God work in your life. And that is a key. Memory and meditation, I believe, are the memory, meditation of Scripture, prayer, are maybe the most neglected things in our Christian life today. We're good at doing things, but what do we accomplish without God's grace and God working in us? The pursuit of holiness, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. I think I finally got the reference right on that. And we're talking about the place of personal discipline. Boy, there is a interesting balance there that I dare say that in my Christian life, I've gone from one extreme and then to the other extreme, and then to this extreme and then to that extreme. Sometimes I'm in the middle, but not very long. Then I go to this extreme, and I'm just being real with you and honest with you. Some folks live their whole life on this extreme, and some folks live their whole life on this extreme. What is the proper balance when it comes to personal discipline and living for God in holiness? 1 Timothy chapter number 4. That's a chapter I have worked on memorizing in the past, but 2 Timothy 3 also. But this is a great chapter. But verse number 7 and 8 of 1 Timothy 4, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. If you have a young wife, you can listen to their fables, but not the old. Never mind. I'm trying. Come on. I cannot do Todd. Hey, I did see Todd sent me the other day a picture of a sparrowhawk out here in the parking lot. It caught a, did you say it was a robin? I couldn't tell what it was in the picture. Caught a robin. We see them in our yard once in a while. It's kind of fun to watch. But I looked out this morning and saw two big black birds in our yard. And they were stuck together. I thought, I've never seen anything like that before. But you know what they were? They were Velcros. Oh, come on, Don. Oh, man. He got it. Give that guy a, what have I got up here? Here we go. A Laffy Taffy. See, that one backfired. Here's another one. See if you can find a better one for next time, all right? Oh, boy. All right. It is possible to establish convictions regarding a life of holiness and even make a definite commitment to that end. I'm going to live the way God wants me to live. I'm going to do right. You ever said that before? And it doesn't last long, does it? We've all been there. Yet we fail to achieve that goal. I'm going to quit this, whatever it is, fill in the blank. I'm going to quit this lustful spirit. I'm going to quit this bad attitude. I'm going to quit this sin of profanity. I'm going to quit whatever it is. We try it. It might work for a while, but then before long, we're right back where we were. And sometimes the Christian life is two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward, two steps back. Two steps forward, another step back. Sometimes maybe even three steps back. But eventually, hopefully we're going the right direction. And it is a struggle. The reality is, in our world today, we want somebody to give us three easy steps. That's just the way our world is wired. That's the way we've been programmed in our culture today. You want to lose weight? Here, take this pill. Do this diet. And of course, it'll work for a month or so, but then you're right back, sometimes worse than you were before. And we want a program, something that will be a magic formula to godliness. When we will take that program next Friday, we'll do it, and then we will be godly. But voila, it's going to show up. The reality is, it never has and never will work that way. And though it sounds good, and we might hear testimony, bless God, I just did this and everything's been great ever since. What about the sin of lying? In reality, we all struggle with that. Godliness only comes through a structured, regular discipline. Just keep, I almost said just keep swimming. Don't do that. Just keep doing right. You struggle, you fall down, get back up. And the idea of discipline often smacks a harsh legalism and self-righteousness. And I will say that that is something that we many times are very guilty of. That's the other extreme. Bless God, why don't you just do it? I did it. Why can't you do it? We sometimes forget that we're all wired different. We're all different, and we all struggle with different things, but I guarantee you we all struggle. Notice the illustration of an athlete Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. I don't know if you turn there or if you know that verse. You can fill in the blank there. Let's see what it says. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which, what? Run in a race. They run all. They all run. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate. What does that mean? He's disciplined. He's got character. He's exercised. He's practiced. He's trained. He's temperate in all things. Not just in running, but a lot of... my son Aaron, I know a lot of you know this, and I'm hopefully going to get up to at least see the start of one of his races. He's running a... He runs these 100-mile races. It's just absolutely insane as far as I'm concerned. But I've never been to one. He's doing one in Wisconsin just before. He does that on vacation. He goes on vacation and runs a 100-mile race and then comes here. and just goes out and runs a marathon for fun every morning or whatever. But I guarantee you, he's got to learn to be disciplined in every area of his life. What he's thinking, what he's eating, what he's drinking, when he eats, when he drinks, what time during the race, and everything. There's so many things that go into this that the average person, I drove my car 100 miles once, and you can't even imagine what goes into that, but I'm hoping to at least go to the start of his race and say, there he goes, adios, we'll see you tomorrow. That's how long it takes. But now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. I always give them a hard time. At the end of the race, you know what you get? A big old Texas-style belt buckle. And he doesn't wear that kind of belt. Garrison would like one of those belts. That's the trophy. He gets to wear a belt that he won't even wear, but he's got them all over his wall. And it's a corruptible crown. But we are seeking an incorruptible crown. And I'm not against that. In fact, more power to you. I wish one of the greatest lessons I've learned in my life had to do with athletics and training. And I still practice a lot of those things. But I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, and so what? What's the word that goes in there?
Fight.
Not as one that beateth the air. Not shadow boxing. You know, you look pretty good out there shadow boxing, but you know somebody punching back at you. That's a different game, isn't it? That's not quite the same. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Well, that is a key passage of Scripture if we want to live the Christian life. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Discipline toward holiness begins with the Scripture. We need to discipline ourselves in the Scripture. We talked about Bible memory. We're going to build upon that a little bit tonight. First of all, we need to realize that the Spirit wrote the Scriptures. The Spirit wrote the Scriptures. You notice the blank there in that little diagram? First of all, we reckon that this book was given to us by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit of God. And it is the Word of God. We have no question about that. But what good does it do us sitting on a shelf? What good is it doing if it's not in us? And we learn the Scriptures. With that arrow to the right, we start where we understand the Scripture was written. The Spirit of God wrote the Scriptures. We learn the Scriptures. And then as we learn the Scriptures, as we read, study, memorize, meditate, the Spirit brings to our mind what we learn. If there's nothing up here, He can't bring anything to mind. He can't renew us. He can't pull it up from the memory banks if it's not there. And when He pulls it up, we learn to apply what He brings to mind. And that's the direction that we need to realize. That is our plan right there. Always has been the plan. It's never changed since the institution of the local church in the New Testament, really since God chose people of Israel. This is the Word of God. You read it, you study it, you memorize, you meditate on it, and God will use it in your life, and it will transform your life. You apply, and we apply what the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Now let's go to the other page, the other side. If we are to learn the Scripture, we must discipline our lives for a regular, steady, there's one, diet of the Word of God. We must discipline our lives for a regular and steady diet of the Word of God. It's not haphazard, it's consistent, day in and day out. Well, I don't feel like it today. We miss the opportunity. We miss God today. There's simply no other way. This involves a planned time, a planned method, and includes much more than reading the Bible. You know, I encourage folks to read through the Bible at least once a year. But sometimes we do that, and to be quite honest with you, I did it just the first time I accomplished it. Boy, I felt like I want a certificate. I want a pat on the back. I want my pastor to recognize me. I went from cover to cover the Bible. It took me a couple of years before I finished it, and actually being in college where you had to do it for assignment, that was a little extra incentive too to pass a class. But to read the Bible, you could read the Bible from cover to cover every year, and if it's not transforming your life, you're missing the whole point. You're missing everything. If it's not reading you, we're missing it. Notice some of the things that God says let me say this. We need to have a plan, a planned time. Now, some of us, most people are unlike me in that they like to operate by a schedule. I don't like routines. I've had one job in my life where I had to report every day at the same time and I guess driving a bus is that way, but I like to change things up. Sometimes I like to spend much more time in the Bible and probably, but most people have a set time, and I would suggest this: the best way to start your day is in the Bible. If you miss that time, that's a pretty good chance. Now, you say, well, preacher, that's easy for you. You're a morning person. I didn't used to be. In fact, I used to be the one that they would say, lead the sleeping bubba lie. Right? That's me, man. About 10 o'clock, I'll be rolling out of bed and boogers will be out of my eyes about 11:30, and I'm ready for lunch. We're ready to go now. I just determined, that's... And then I think, I'll read the Bible later. Well, especially in Bible college, that was difficult when you're working all night and you got a 7:30 in the morning class, you're fortunate if you can get the class and then stay awake through that class. And there's always the driest class that you had to take at 7:30 in the morning, and you get off work just a few hours before that and then go in and try to stay awake, and toothpicks in the eyes and everything else, so they still didn't work. How can I start in the morning with God? But there's no better time, even if it's just a short time. But I would say, I'll do it later in the day. I've learned by experience, and most people have learned this by experience too, but very few will admit it. If it doesn't happen right away in the morning, it's easy to put off, isn't it? Later in the day. Well, tonight. Well, we'll do better tomorrow. I know how it goes. I've been there. And we need to have a set time. And I would just say this. My wife was envious of me when our children were little because children tend to get up early in the morning. Sometimes, I don't know what it is to have kids that sleep in. Some kids do, but ours seem to never do. I get up in the morning, and when we became empty nesters, I guess my wife said quite a few times, "Boy, it's nice to get up in the morning and just read your Bible and pray, and not have to, Mom, Mom, Mom." You know, they make alarm clocks to sound like, Mom, 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 Mom. That's what the alarm clocks sound like. But that early time, there's nothing more helpful than to start. I came across this poem, and I used to hate this poem. Some people still hate that poem. And I put it on there. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er the very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings when, with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. There's great value in that. Maybe your major time of studying the Bible is not first thing in the morning, but you need to start your day talking to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you spend more time later, but you need to have a consistent, steady time. What works for you? I just like to read biographies, and I find very seldom people of great faith put it off till later in the day. Most everybody I read their biography, they start the day early in the morning talking to the Lord and spending time with Him. And notice some things that God says we're to do with the Bible. These are just, in fact, I would encourage you to make a list as you read through the Bible of all the things you're supposed to do. There's only a couple of places in the Bible that say we're to read the Bible. We think, well, read the Bible, read your Bible. That's like telling, oh, here's another one for you, Todd. I'm still trying to beat you. What did the garrison knows this one. I heard it the day I went up and saw them last week. What did the green grape say to the purple grape? Breathe! Never mind. Do I need to explanify it to you? No, it doesn't get any better if I do. But it's, we're saying read the Bible, that's like saying breathe. If we have no desire, no hunger for the Word of God, we're sick. I mean, if I have no appetite, that means I'm sick. If I have no spiritual appetite, if I could kind of put it off and, yeah, whatever, I don't need that. That means I am very sick and I'm going to shrivel up and die. But the Bible has many things it says we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, most of you know that verse. It starts out with, what's the first word? Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. That doesn't mean like some people think, well, this part doesn't belong and that doesn't belong. Well, we don't need that part. We don't need this part. But rightly placing, putting it piece by piece in order, how it aligns. And comparing Scripture with Scripture. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth. We don't interpret the Bible. We don't divide the Bible. We put it in the order that God placed it and put it in His order. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and they that, what? Hear the words of the prophecy. And, there's that great word, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his, what? Delight. What's your delight? A lot of say, well, it's dairy delight, isn't it? What is my delight? What is the thing that brings the most satisfaction to my life? If it's anything outside the Bible, we got some problems we just don't realize. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He what? Meditate. Our meditation is so important. Our meditation is what we're thinking about when our engine's just running idle. What do we think about when we sit and relax?
I think about nothing.
Well, if you want to do nothing, that's a good thing to do, I guess. We ought to be thinking about the Word of God. We ought to be thinking about the things of God. That's why I encourage you to write the verses on a card. Not only the writing helps you, but you have it with you. You can pull it out when you're just sitting around. You've got some time to kill. Hey, let's read the Scripture. Let's review the Scripture. You'll be amazed what that does in your life when you learn to meditate. Meditation is how we get all we can out of the Word of God. It's simply thinking about it and learning to apply its truth to our daily life. It's taking it, absorbing it. I like the picture. I used to give this a lot to people, but it's kind of gross, but that's why I like it. Meditation, I heard somebody describe. Gary said that he used to keep sheep in Sunday school, and he was a man who was a shepherd, a sheep keeper. He said he got looking at those sheep one day, and they're chewing their cud. The cow will chew their cud. But that's what meditation is. You swallow it, comes back up. You chew it a little bit. Think about it. Stew it over a little bit, and then swallow it again. And then you spit it up again. You regurgitate the Word of God, and you chew on it again. And you get nutrition out of it every time. And God begins to show you different things every time when you meditate on the Word of God. But if we're not memorizing, we can't be meditating. Well, I think the Bible says somewhere about this, but what does the Bible say? We need to be memorizing, meditating, studying the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God, making time, making it a priority, making it our delight, and realizing that if it's not our delight, there's something wrong. If it's not something that we find satisfaction in, if it's not the greatest thing in our life, well, I thought that was for the preacher. You know what I love about Psalm 1 is that it works for everyone. Blessed is the preacher. Is that what it says? Blessed is the Sunday school teacher. Blessed is the man. Man in general sense. Man or woman. Mankind. There's a blessing. I believe this with all my heart. And I've seen it in my own life. I've experienced it. Of course, I've been in the ministry for a number of years, but it's still true in other areas, other things that I'm involved in, that God blesses those that meditate on the Word of God. You can be a better preacher. You can be a better Sunday school teacher, but you can also be a better mechanic. You can be a better factory worker. You can be a better janitor. That's why I learned it when I was a janitor. When I was a student, you can be a better student. By meditating on the Word of God. And that's the promise of some. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Not just spiritual things, but everything he does shall prosper. And God will use it if we're meditating on the Word of God. If we're going to grow in grace, we're going to have to give ourselves to the Word of God and grow in knowledge and grace of God and make it a practice. Make it a personal discipline. I'm going to spend time in the Bible. I'm going to get up and start my time with God in the morning. Get this old body going, get this old carcass going is what I call it in the morning. I got to get this carcass going again. Rigor mortis set in the last few hours, and we got to get things moving again and see if we can get it going and get the mind going. And sometimes that never does really kick in, but we keep trying and keep rejoicing in the Lord and spending time with God. But it takes personal discipline. It's not going to just happen on its own. If we don't come up with a plan, if we don't have a purpose, if we don't have a desire, and if it's not our delight. And we're just going to stop there, and I'm going to mark where I stop so I know next time, and I'm going to finish this next time. So the good news is we won't have questions to answer for next time. I was going to give you the next page, but I got something on the beginning of the next page I didn't want you to see till next week when we get there, okay? I want to ask you to stand.